Good morning, church. What a wonderful day it is. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have our visitors here with us this morning. God has truly blessed us with your presence this morning. And if you are visiting, we ask that you stay a little bit afterwards that we can get acquainted with you and get to know you a little bit better. We've been studying the grace of God. And Don, I appreciate the song selection this morning. The grace of God, and we're gonna end that study this morning, and we're gonna talk about my title this morning is saving the best for last. Not that this is the best lesson, and I'm saving it, but the topic saving the best for last. You know, in our society, we don't always adhere to this. When you think of it in terms of as counselors, we'll use the terminology delayed gratification. We don't practice that very well, do we, at times? We want what we want when we want it, no matter what. Whether it's really good for us or not, we want what we want. Sometimes we call it taking the path of least resistance, right? We want to take the easy way out, and that's not always the best, is it? That's not always what's best for us. Now, we understand this idea of saving the best for last when it comes to food, don't we? We're going to eat lunch in a little bit, and we have our main meal, or whatever we eat, our chicken or fish or steak, and we have our potatoes and vegetables, and then comes the homemade cream puffs. Anybody had a homemade cream puff before? My wife makes a great homemade cream puff, by the way. She bakes them herself. She'll take that, she'll cut out the little cream puff, and then she'll take the ice cream and put it in there. And then after she puts the ice cream in there, she'll take the chocolate. I'm getting hungry right now. I'm starting to drool a little bit. But anyway, we save the best for last. Don't eat that first. Save it for last. Eat your food and then take the homemade cream puff and eat it. But this morning, we're not obviously going to talk about food, but we are talking about saving the best for last from a spiritual perspective. I want to show you what Paul does. He saves the best for last. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. That's Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. It's in the New Testament. New Covenant. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And I want to show you Paul's way of thinking. Paul will really save the best for last. And I'll show you that as we look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at a few other passages. Very simply, we're going to look at the very first couple of verses, and then we're going to look at the last couple of verses. We're not going to do that on every one of the books because Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, it was God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified and set apart in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now remember how we were called. We've been talking about the calling of God for the last several of weeks. Called by the gospel, right? Called by the grace of God. And that's what Paul's talking about. To those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Notice verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to go to the end of 1 Corinthians. Chapter what? Chapter 16, I believe it is. Notice what Paul says in verse 21. This is Paul's greeting. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul says. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. Notice verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Jesus Christ. Amen. So he said grace and peace in the beginning. Now at the end, Paul says, grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now look at 2 Corinthians. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He'll do precisely the same thing and say the same thing. In verse 2, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to the end of 2 Corinthians. You see the pattern. Those of you who've been studying for years, you've seen this long ago, but it's really an interesting thought when you think of it in terms of Paul saving the best for last. Chapter 13, verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That was their custom of greeting. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Okay, let's look at Galatians real quick. Chapter 1, that's the next book, 2 Corinthians, then Galatians. Notice verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to chapter 6. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brethren. Amen. Now, when you go and study, and I want you to do this on your own. For time's sake, we can't do this. But every letter that Paul writes, this is how he ends. Go read it for yourself. With the exception of Romans, he doesn't use the same terminology, but he does use the gospel, depending on your translation. So he's saying, he's concluding with the same thing, but in my translation, he doesn't use the word grace, the grace of our Lord be with you, but he's saying the same thing. But every letter Paul writes, that's what he saves for last. Think about it a bit. Why is that? There's a lot of reasons. Paul isn't just writing a greeting of hello and goodbye. This is everything to Paul, isn't it? This is everything to the Christian life that matters, that is significant to us. This is the key. Paul is saying, this is what I want your minds to think on continually. I don't ever want you to lose sight of the grace of God in Jesus Christ that you have, church. We began our series by looking at, we called it the five-letter word Jesus never spoke. Then I clarified that because he does one time say the word grace, doesn't he, to Paul, but in his ministry, he doesn't use the word grace. And why is that? Well, we know that Jesus Christ came from heaven, John chapter 1, verse 17. The law was revealed through Moses. Grace and truth was brought by him. So we said he embodied it. He was it. He lived it. He explained it. It calls. It leads. And it justifies. Remember we looked at that? Wasn't that important? Wasn't that significant? That it doesn't justify the godly, it justifies, he says, the ungodly. The grace of God justifies the ungodly. We said it was that which burns within us. What is burning within you? What motivates your life today? Anything motivates you? Paul will say, remember, I work far more than any of them. Work, work, work. I labor in the vineyard of the Lord. But he says, it's not I. What was it? It was the grace of God with me. That was, Paul says, that is our motivation. That's why we do what we do. And then we said, and this is the one that always gets my attention, that it is God's plan. Before the creation of the world, fully knowing how sinful man would live and treat his son. In spite of the evil and wickedness of the world, that God would plan before that ever happened, knowing that it would take his son to go to the cross, innocence, purity, perfection, his only son. And yet he would still carry out his plan because of his great love for you and I, and for the world, for the nations. That's his grace. And then we saw last week that there are those that when God's grace is presented to people, sometimes the way we view it, there are those that say it ain't right. Remember last week we looked at a few passages? Simon the Pharisee, he's the one who should understand the love of God and the Word of God according to the law, right? But he has a problem with that woman who was a prostitute who comes in and is washing Jesus' feet. But we find in the story that it's the prostitute, the woman who was washing his feet, that Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." He wasn't pleased and impressed with Simon. Then we looked at the prodigal son, didn't we? What a story. He gets his inheritance early. He goes off and he runs off and lives a life of worldliness, prostitution. Finds himself with the pigs. He gets out of that. He comes home and God's pleased, remember? The Father is pleased. He embraces him. He says, "Let's kill a fat calf. Let's throw a party because my son was lost." He's back home now. But what does the brother, the responsible one, do? When it comes to the grace of God, he says, "Father, I didn't squander your living. I didn't take the inheritance. I was at home the whole time. It ain't right." But it is right. And then we looked at Jonah. God tells him to go to that city, Nineveh, and tell him to repent, right? At first he runs. You remember the story. And then he's upset. He finally goes and tells him to repent. They repent. He's upset again. It ain't right. And God wants to stress his love, his grace for the nations. God loves everybody. We know better when someone says it ain't right. We know better because it's God's grace. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of God. It's the good news. It's all the same thing. It's the word that the world needs to know about. And it is amazing, Don. It is amazing. When we really stop and think about it, when I think of the innocent Son of God in the place of me, the guilty one, and you, the guilty one, it is amazing. I'm not innocent. Jesus was innocent. He suffered in all things as we are in the flesh, but he was without sin, wasn't he? It's what we grow in. It's what we're growing in every day. Remember, don't try to grow to grace. You can't grow to grace. You're growing in it. 2 Peter chapter 3:18. It's the paid in full price for sin. Of course, that's the blood of Christ that has paid in full the price for our sin. It's the gift of God, isn't it? It is the gift of God. And no human deserves it. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. I can't offer anything for it. The wages of sin is death, period. But then Paul says the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is our gift. And it's that gift that God has graciously given because that is what flows out of his character, who he is. What I want to do in this lesson, I want to focus on, for the remaining part of the lesson, two words. I think they're Paul's two favorite words. And of course, you know one of them, grace. We're going to touch on that for a moment. But then I want to look at the second word that I think is Paul's other favorite word, and that's peace. Remember he said grace and peace. You see, to the Apostle Paul, it is Christ all the way. Not halfway. It is everything. It is all or none. Paul noticed he does nothing halfway, and neither should we. Anybody who does anything good in life and is successful, they don't do it halfway. They do it all the way. They put in everything they have, heart, soul, and mind. They put it all towards it. And that's what Paul does with the grace of God. And I'm sorry to say, but you know, too many problems in life come when people have not taken Christ fully, all the way. A partial commitment to him is not good enough. Remember, he wants it all. He doesn't want that lukewarmness. We aren't half saved, half forgiven, have partial grace. But not all. We either do or we don't. We're saved or we're not. We're forgiven or we're not. That's the grace of God. And we don't ever want to reject it. Notice 1 Peter. Let's look at one verse, 1 Peter. what is it? Hebrews, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Don't reject the grace of God. You know that's our hope. Not only are we growing in grace, but do you realize that is our hope? It's our hope. We think, well, eternal life's our... Yeah, the grace of God is our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, gird your minds for action, Peter said. Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the what? On the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have grace, right? But it's going to fully be revealed to us when Christ returns. The eternal weight of glory, I cannot wait. The grace of God, fully revealed to you and I. Acts 15:11, Paul says, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus. Don't tell Paul it is an outdated message. Paul knows better than that. It's the only message. It is the only message. Number one, grace. Number two, his second favorite word, peace. His peace, God's peace. Do you have peace this morning? Do you have peace of mind, peace in your heart? It's the word shalom, 88 times, depending on your translation, it's used in the New Testament. God be with you. God is with you. And you believe God is with you. That the grace of God is with you, and you have peace of mind. Grace is God's. Peace is yours. Grace is God. Peace flows from grace. The more I understand and the more I believe it and my life coincides with the grace of God, the more peace I have in mind, in my heart. If I'm troubled in soul all the time, maybe I ought to look at the grace of God. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus said in John 16:33, that in me you may have peace. In Christ, that's where peace is. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You see, again, peace flows from God, from the grace of God. You ever notice how grace frees us? Are you free? You know better than to think of it in terms of freeing us to do. It has no bearing on doing what we want to do at all. Forget that. I want to be free from guilt. Forget free to go do what I want to do. I've done enough of what I want to do to know where that gets me. And I think you're the same. I want to be free from guilt. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from law and all that binds us up. And it is the grace of God that does that. You know, this year I have had my struggles just as we all have. I guess I'm just getting used to the fact that that's part of being human, right? We struggle sometimes, don't we? All of us. No matter who we are, no matter how much faith we have, we struggle. And I've been struggling these last few years, last three years, and just challenged by many different things. And faith has been one of them. My own faith has been tested and challenged. My own conscience. And as much as I've been tested, maybe more the last 3 years in different ways, emotionally too, I think I'm freer than I've ever been. I'm freer than I've ever been. And I think that's because of God's grace and that He's teaching me more and more what that really means and how I fully rely on that, because that's all I've got. That's all anybody's got. And you know what amazes me about the gospel of grace? This is really going to sound simple, and I thought about it this week. It is what's caused all of this. Isn't that profound? It really is. I'm looking at Christians. And it is because of the gospel. Gospel within earthen vessels. transforming and changing people's lives from the world to Christ's likeness. It is amazing. Somebody says, why do you preach? You know, it's a nerve-wracking. Trust me, I know. I will stand up here and say, it's more nerve-wracking for me than it would be for any of you when I first started. I was more frightened and scared, I will say, than any one of you in this room. I don't get frightened, but I get nervous. I have butterflies, as someone said, they just fly in formation now, you know. But the gospel causes all this. The grace of God. It is still, no matter what we do, we can offer, we can look good, we can sound good, we can have degrees, but it is still only one thing that saves and transforms the soul. Don't forget it, church. When someone asks you to preach, and you can do it, do it. Because Paul will tell us in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of what? The gospel. Because in it is the power of God to salvation. God's word, and Jim Knight likes this passage in Isaiah, it will not return void. Amen? Look at you, you're here. Don't underestimate the power of God's word as it's planted in heart. Now, you know what? Not all soils are receptive as the seed is sown. We know that. We're just told to sow the seed and let God be God. Move yourself out of the way. Just be who you are and what you know. Let people know what he's done in your life. You don't have to sound good when you do it. Just do it. The power is not in how you sound. The power is in the grace of God as the gospel is preached. I think I've said enough about that. Let me close with two thoughts here. Saving the best for last. This was summed up better than I could ever say it. By preacher. Matter of fact, it was Charles Hodge. Some of you probably know of him. Charles Hodge, a great preacher. But I was reading one of his books and I thought, this sums the grace of God up. He said, God in Christ stepped into our helpless, damned condition to take all the penalties of sin upon himself, gathering all our sins into his great heart, and consuming them in the fires of his own love. He consumed it in the fires of his own love. I'll close with this poem. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Church, let me just leave you with God's grace and encourage you to continue to grow in it. Encourage you to continue to live in it, to believe in it, and give it to others, spread it to others. It is by faith that you came to Christ, isn't it? The same faith that was offered through Abraham and his seed, right? That in Galatians we find out was fulfilled in Christ, the promised seed. And that we come by faith. It is always by faith. We receive his word, don't we? We acknowledge our sin. We confess Christ as Lord. We put him on in union and baptism. We unite with Jesus the Christ. Nothing magical about the waters. It's your faith and God and his power through your faith. You're washed of your sins. The grace of God is yours. And you know what? One day it's going to be revealed fully to you. That is yours this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if anybody needs to respond, if you need encouragement, you need prayers, you want to place membership, you want to be baptized into Christ, this is your opportunity. Will you come as we sing the song of invitation?